Here we are. We're doing it. Okay, we just wrapped on the podcast and my nerves are racked. We are implementing like a whole audio change. Hopefully you can see and hear me, because if you can't, well, that's indicative of a problem. But man, good episode this week. Post show 135. Hopefully, we were just saying, hopefully in our last one before the new year, but I don't think it'll be. But if so, it was a fun one to go out on either way. We talk about a whole bunch of stuff. Dan to Dan episode 9 and 10, three body problem. I'm up to episode 6. So we talk about the whole thing about where I'm at, like up to episode 6. And then we also talk about the fact that it's based on a book, because some of the issues that I've had with it are, I think they'd probably be avoided in book format. So now I'm kind of curious and I may end up reading the book. But anyway, listen to the whole conversation and let us know what you think. Quick mention of Dragon Ball Daima. Grant goes deep on the boy and the heron, and then we just end up talking about Ghibli adjacent stuff for a little while. But he gives a really good review of that got me hella amped to listen to it. So I likely will, or to watch it rather. So I likely will. And then we get into some pop culture news. We do the Golden Globe nominations. We talk about some breaking MCU news and superhero news in general. And yeah, hopefully you enjoy it. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Make sure to subscribe and all that. And cheers. Enjoy.
Hey, Dave.
Hey there, Grant.
How we doing?
What's up, buddy? I'm good. I'm ready. We're trying to learn. We're learning a lot. Let us know if we sound different or if you can hear us at all.
I really hope we don't fuck this one up.
Yeah. It's fun, though. Like, I think we've talked about it every show. Every episode since we've done video, we have made at least one change to improve the workflow, to solve technical issues. This episode is probably the biggest change we're making. There's a good argument we're biting off more than we can chew here. But we'll find out if you can hear us. And if you can't, I mean, this is really just a silent film airing on Spotify and YouTube.
Enjoy it. Yeah, there'll be timestamps, but no one will know what we're saying.
Yeah, yeah. How you been, man? It's been a busy couple of weeks, huh?
Busy couple of weeks. The winter blues are kicking in, but
oh my god.
Yeah, I've been shopping for not vitamin D lamps, but sun lamps. I'm looking at those.
Do you take vitamin D in the winter?
I think there's some in multivitamin I take, but yeah. I don't
take
know.
Vitamin.
Maybe I should be taking maybe straight vitamin D.
I take vitamin D in the winter. Grant and I, as the listeners know, we live in fucking Moscow. Or we may as well, for how cold it gets here. And this is my first winter as a homeowner, shoveling. Oh my god.
Isn't it the best?
No, it sucks.
It sucks.
It
so
fucking
much.
Blows. Yeah. Like, there is for sure some version of like a half glass empty, like, or half glass full Grant take, where it's like, oh, you know, it's time to myself and I get to like, you know, listen to a podcast or something like that. Because, you know, I remember telling you, like, I actually don't mind the raking and the cutting the grass and that stuff. I think my main problem currently, which will probably not be resolved until Christmas, is my boots that have otherwise been great for many Canadian winters, which are both fashion and functional. And they have like good soles and they're relatively good quality. And again, they're a nice pair of leather boots. They're made by Thursdays. Free plug. Feel free to sponsor the show. But like, again, they're good. They've survived many Canadian winters. But you know what? They're not. They're not a shoveling boot.
No, you're not like up to your, you know, above your ankles in snow.
No. Yeah. And like, I have been in those boots and it's fine, right? You know, I've walked through, you know, busy downtown streets and all that, and the slush and the sleet and the rain and the snow and all that crap. But that is an incredibly different use case of like everyday wear versus shoveling a driveway, right? The amount of times I've nearly rolled an ankle or blown out my back, like, because, you know,
that catch, you know, you got the shovel, you got that catch.
You're doing this, one of these.
Yeah.
See, the viewer can appreciate the steadying motion.
Yeah.
But that shit is terrifying. That sucks. Getting the crappy, the salt mixture crap to try and, it's exhausting, dude.
It was like last winter, I don't know who I was trying to prove the point to, but I went all winter without using the snowblower. I was like, fuck it, like it's manageable. I was like, you know, I'm gonna shovel this. We had our first snowfall. I was out there for maybe 10 minutes. I was like, fuck that. I am like going to the shed. I'm checking to make sure this thing still works. I'm not doing another winter of like just straight shoveling. It's gonna be a little bit of both, but you know, I wanted to make like a parking area, like a side thing. You know, I was like fighting with the plows every year. Not anymore. It's just my driveway and that's it.
Yeah, man. It's just exhausting. It's so exhausting. And like the like we can't even. I didn't even think we could fit a snow blower in that garage if the car is in there. We recently started parking the car in there, so now I'm doing the whole like, you know, parking in a garage with an inch of clearance because it just barely fits.
Like a glove,
right? I'm thinking about getting that's. You know what I found out? This is unbelievable. This is 2024, 2025, futuristic, dystopian level shit. Right? We have the CX-5. We've got the car. This is a car podcast now. And dude, you know what I noticed? You know what I didn't realize how absurd this was until recently. When we got the car, they gave us the auto starter on the fob.
Oh sure, yeah.
It's a subscription service.
Fuck off.
No,
really?
They gave us a couple years free, and now they're like, "Oh, you want to keep that shit?" Like the button's still there, the hardware's in the car, but they turn it off. They can yeah.
Oh, that is greasy.
I was looking into it, and...
How much is that, if you don't mind my asking?
$10 a month, but...
So, wow, that's...
Forever.
Yeah.
Forever, dog. I mean, unless there's, like, some lifetime thing you can pay. But,
Man.
I looked into it, and the entry-level, like, Audi A4s, they do the same thing with fucking heat warmers in your seats. What? What?
That is some dystopian stuff for sure. That's wild.
I can't believe it. And then, anyway, the kind of somewhat dark joke was I was like, you know, if I auto start that car, I better, that garage is so tight, I better open
Yeah.
Probably, you should probably open the, open the front door of the garage first.
Brutal.
Anyway, so, yeah, just domestic problem after domestic problem. I was bitching you off mic.
About yeah, getting cat. That shovel you were looking at, the automated shovel there.
Yeah, no, not yet. We've got like one of those basic, you know, one of these guys
sure.
for now. I can't really bitch about it either, right? Because I like, granted, I do all the shoveling, but like Sam's the one who went and like dealt with it. This is also like a middle-aged thing. Like I'm just hating, I just don't even like stores anymore. I don't know what's wrong with me.
No.
I like shopping. God knows we like to spend money in this damn place. But I hate the retail environment. Mm. I don't know what it is. I think... There is definitely something to, like, COVID made us all so, reclusive.
Sure. Yeah.
And despite being, like, a social guy, there's something, there's definitely, like, a Bill Burr bit in here somewhere, or maybe CK, about, like, just being in line and being angry for no reason. You're in line, it's not moving, and it's just, like, it's amazing that these people aren't eating each other, because it's just, it's a nightmare, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, there's something about grocery shopping. Like Sam goes on her own now, and literally just does
all. Spouting into the grocery store.
Can't no, I refuse. I can't do it. Like, and if I, because if when I go, I did this for years on my own. For the record, right? I've lived alone for a very long time, but I always like route optimized. I would list my grocery list in the order in which it appears in the store. And I'm going, and I'm moving, flared elbows, knocking over elderly citizens. Like it's. I'm doing the whole, excuse me, anytime now. Like, I'm doing that the whole way through, right? I can do a grocery run with, like, 7 days worth of food in, like, 11 minutes.
Sure.
Right? Sam's in that place for 55 minutes, right? And if she's dawdling and I'm losing it on her, and I'm like, hey, when neither of us are having a good time, how about you do this? And I'll do all the gross stuff.
I love looping back to a department more than like three times.
Oh, you're out of your mind. Yeah.
It's awesome.
I was talking to people about this. Like, oh, I love the discovering stuff and finding stuff. I'm like, yeah, I hate you. I hate this.
I am a hit every aisle kind of guy.
Oh,
just
my
even,
God.
Even if I don't need it. Even if I don't need it. It's just like adds to the stroll, you know, taking your time, going through.
That doesn't shock me at all.
Oh, what's this? Oh, a new flavor of Fruit Loops. I'll never buy, but that's kind of cool to see it.
I have I can see you in my mind's eye picking something off the shelf. Oh, yeah. Pretty cool, huh? I can see you doing one of those. Do you go as a couple? Different with child rearing, I assume.
New routine is Sunday morning with the little one. We go
home. Oh, my God.
You're first thing. Baby. Hit it at 8 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's actually good. It's, you know, he's engaged. I got him distracted, you know. Get the groceries done. It's kind of like a win-win. But
All right. Anyway. It's a bit of a tangent, but to be fair, I picked up a lot of gross jobs, right, that she doesn't want to do, so I don't want to make it sound like I'm just sending her out there into a war zone. Believe me, she prefers me not being there. It's better for both of us. But I don't know when I became this person, but it's tough.
Homeownership,
aging, slow walkers, dawdlers. I've just become this guy. Yeah, I don't know. I should talk to somebody about it. Anyway, okay, do you want to talk about anime?
Maybe, yeah, let's do that.
Anime or TV show? What do you think? Live action or animated first?
Let's do animated first. Let's talk about some Dan and Dan.
You want to do Dan and Dan?
Yeah.
So episodes 9 and 10, you had your like Godzilla episode.
Yep, that was pretty sick.
It's ridiculous.
What, the Godzilla or just like the
No,
episode
everything,
itself?
everything.
Sure,
Everything.
yeah. Wait, you didn't like, okay.
I'm not saying I didn't like it.
Okay, I really loved what they did in episode 9 with the kind of just like the layers of the water and kind of like being able to push up. Like again, they really it's not like they tried to like follow science like super close there, but like you know the oxygen pockets and getting from one to the other being shot up and I don't know, just the kind of the creativity of like using Okarun the way he moves and she kind of like squeezes him out. Very suggestive material in this episode, obviously. But
Unbelievable how horny this show is, dude.
Yeah, dude. But I think that was kind of like what was sold to us right off the bat, and you know, I think we've seen enough instances. It's been tame since, for the most part. But I think this is kind of like where it really kind of creeped up again. But I don't know. I thought it was really cool. That whole fight where like it turns into like the super Nessie or whatever. I thought that was a really cool fight. The way they outsmarted the aliens.
The ending when Ira, or no, Momo? What's the main
Momo,
girl?
yeah.
Yeah.
Momo, yeah.
At the end, when she's so grateful that they're back on the floor, thank you for being so hard. My God. I guess it's, you know, I don't want to say that like all of a sudden I'm okay with how silly it is, but
Sure.
I do think there is a pretty distinct difference in how this show is like making sexual innuendo and comedy versus like just straight up weird undertones that you'll catch in things like Overlord or Fire Force or
Sure, yeah. Wow, yeah. The
they're going at
extremes
it
and those, yeah.
complete yeah, it's a completely different approach. And one of them I think is like serves the story and is like a source of comedy relief, and the other I think
Well,
is just like stupid and devalues it.
yeah, agreed. I think the big approach with Dandadan is like there is an air of satire to it. Like
Yeah, it's funny.
it is playing tongue in cheek. It is like again, like that's a perfectly written joke of like, you know, again, you
That you're
explain
getting
it out,
smart. Yeah.
but you know, like it's A plus joke, you know, like they can take, you know, a well crafted thing and kind of make it all part of it and you know, like it's you know, it is what it is, suggestive and you know, horny in its own regards, but whatever. I do love, I gotta say, like kind of creeping into episode 10. I think my biggest takeaway is like, oh, how are they going to talk their way out of that? They're in high school. Like, of course, people are going to talk about that. I kind of just love they said, there's no way they're talking out of it. Like, they were just like weirdly honest about it, of like,
Yeah.
don't ask me about it. Or like, you know, it's, you know, kind of the way they kind of turn into, you know, Ira and Momo kind of, you know, kind of overcoming their kind of beef and all that. But I don't know. I just thought it was like, because you kind of end episode 9 of like, how in the world is this going to like resolve itself?
Yeah.
And it kind of doesn't because like, there's no way to explain that. You know, they kind of just disregard it in like the most honest way possible, I think. But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was like an interesting take on that situation.
I agree. I actually almost liked episode 10 more than 9 because it was
Oh,
like,
definitely. Yeah.
yeah, you know, not as much action and all that, but I have it in my notes here that it says like, you know, despite how absurdly horny this show can be, like there are some really endearing, tender moments that are like, oh God, like the just how innocent kids are and what
Yeah.
it's like to have your first crush and all that. There's a really good moment where Momo's like berating Okarun about why were you with Ira in the first place when this whole thing started. He just said, I want you to think I'm a cool guy. And it's just like, God, doesn't just so much of high school romance bullshit like boil down to that and life? You know what I mean? It's just like, it's very innocent and it's very sweet. You know what I mean?
It's also refreshing that like they are just like talking, you know, they're not, it's not turning into like 10 episodes of like, let's
Yeah.
continue this misunderstanding. Let's like stress it out, you know, they're just honest with each other, you know, like, because in the end of the day, I think the biggest advantage to like this and them as characters, you know, he is her first friend, right? You know, yeah. Obviously, like, he, you know, he's starting to fall in love with her, and they, you know, they're clearly like they really like each other, but you know, you can see him battling this whole like, she's my first friend, and now, you know, clearly they have feelings for each other. It is a good balance for him. And then her too, I think, in a, you know, she's a, again, also really well-written character. You can see she sees that as well.
Yeah.
You know, she's really starting to get to know him. And then he has these moments like, oh, you know, I want to be cool. You know, like, I don't know. It's such a good show, dude. Like, I know, you know, we were talking last time, but, you know, everyone's like, oh, episode seven is like the highlight of the series. And, you know, I think episode 8 and 9 got a little review bombed recently. Which is just, the internet's so childish.
Oh, right. Like, so, yeah.
You know, but it's like, I did like episode 7, and, you know, I ended up rewatching it, and it's like, but this is, like, episode 10 is like, this is why I watched the show.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't need to see the Tanjiro back stuff. You know, it's cool that Ira has, like, you know, Acro Silky's abilities and all that, and, you know, they're kind of paired, but I just want to see them all interact with one another. And Ira's also, you know, she's growing on me as well, so.
Same, because there was a moment, I think we both, you might have been the one to say it, of, like, I really want to see where the relationship goes between the first two main characters. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we really need a third.
Yeah. And now we got our fourth.
Yeah, because then we got, you know, because we also had the, you know, we got Turbo Granny in the little cat's body, and we've got the hot grandma and all this stuff. And I didn't know if we needed a third main character. But in 10, in episode 10, they kind of sold me. I was like, yeah, okay, the dynamics at play here are kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Her, like, shtick is like, because, you know, if she was, like, immovable and just that character in stasis, maybe I wouldn't be down, but, like, getting the powers. And also, she also matures in her own way in episode 10. And again, it just makes it feel much more human and less, like you said, like, animeism, like, a lot of lesser stories would stretch the misunderstanding. How long can we make this last, right?
Mm-hmm. Get a full 24 episodes out of it. And then, you know, we'll see you season 2, you know?
Yeah. Who's the, he's the guy that stars in Californication.
David Duchovny.
Yeah. In Californication, he has a line when he's writing for television, and he hates writing for television. He goes, listen, guys, I know I'm the new guy on the block for writing for TV, but isn't the idea to make people want them to kiss but never actually make them kiss until episode, like, 38? And you're like, I mean, well, unfortunately, yes. Like, that is how most episodic television does it, is like you get the audience like begging for it, and at a certain point, like, it
becomes 2 seasons of Jim and Pam ogling each other, you know, like, it's
though in that one, I mean, fuck, how long did it take? It was actually very long, wasn't it?
It was season 3. At the end of season 3, it was like they were kind of a thing, and then, like, I think season 4 was like, aha, we're a couple, like, you know, no one knew it.
Yeah, we knew it. Really great on screen romance between those two, but yeah, but that took a long time.
Has aged not well in recent rewatches, I gotta say.
I think their chemistry ages. It remains good.
Yes, their chemistry. Yeah, but like, yeah.
How they, the pacing, yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
I think Jim and Pam as characters, too. I'm just like, oh, wow. Like, if I knew someone I worked in an office space with, like, those two people, I'd be, like, really annoyed. And, like, yeah, you guys not. Sure. But, yeah. Well, did you see the news about Dan? The kind of, like, the worst kept secret is we're getting a season 2 this summer.
Oh, really? So, so are we only getting 12 episodes of this, then?
I believe so, yeah. Because Jump Festa is on the 21st this month. So, there's a ton of announcements. They've kind of teed up. You know, there's going to be some Dragon Ball stuff. They've said Dan to Dan. They've also mentioned Chainsaw Man, the Reese movie, is going to be... I don't know, maybe we'll get another trailer. That'd be cool. Maybe an announcement.
I'd love a release date.
I think that's this year would be. And then also, I think it got leaked too that Jujutsu Kaisen's this summer as well.
Yeah. We should talk on mic, off mic. But you just reminded me. When is that Jump Fest thing? Is it the 21st of December? The
21st, yeah.
Yeah, so you and I are going to have to figure out if we record before or after Christmas. Or if otherwise, this might be our last one for a little while.
We will see you guys in the new year. No.
Yeah. Well, you never know. We'll figure it out. It'd be fun if we could sneak one in to cover all the news out of Jump Fest. Because, like Grant mentioned, like, there's Jiu-Jitsu news, Dragon Ball news, Chainsaw news, Dandadan. Like, there's a bunch of stuff.
One Piece stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that's supposed to be... And I'm going to be irritated if the news are like, yes, there will be a season 3. It's like, okay, give me dates, give me runtime, give me, like, details. I saw one... being like, breaking news, Demon Slayer movie will be in 2025. I'm like, great.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And then officially announced a couple days ago.
So
Yeah.
give me some shit, you know what I mean?
There was some cool news out of that actually.
Demon Slayer?
Well, the movie specifically, because believe me, it's connected, but One Piece is currently on. They're taking a pretty significant break until
Yeah.
March of next year. And it's announced that there's a significant number of One Piece animators working on the Infinity Castle. So it's like, oh, okay, are they taking a break because they're trying to, pace out One Piece, or are they being pulled off
Yeah.
that to, work on this movie, get that out the door? But
I'm still
interesting.
irritated about that.
Well, it's coming sooner. The first part's coming sooner than later. So if, but again, who knows if we're getting it day and date, Japan. Was it almost
Yeah.
2 years we waited for Mugen Train?
It wasn't that bad, but it was bad.
It was close to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll
But
see.
yeah, Dan, good
And
show.
maybe I'll be in Japan when it comes out, dude, and I'll
Oh,
see
that's
it
true.
at a theater, and I'll have to hold on to that and tell you nothing.
That would rot me to my core.
That would be tough.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh God, we'll see. I am one episode behind, and I tried to sneak it in last night late, and I fell asleep. I'm one episode behind Shangri-La Frontier Season 2.
Oh, wow, you're ahead of me now.
Wow,
Yeah, I'm
really?
still, yeah, I'm behind. Like I told you, we're off mic there. It's been a really slow 2 weeks. I've not been watching much. Been reading a lot. Just kind of need a, switch it up. I'm watching so much anime.
Yeah.
It's kind of the point of the show here, but I feel like
No,
I'm watching
not really.
too much seasonal anime, and it's good just to take a break. Dan to Dan, I think, is my consistent week to week. That and Orb, actually.
Yeah, I haven't missed Dan to Dan at all, and I haven't watched Orb yet, though.
Oh, Bleach. Sorry, I've been watching Bleach.
Oh yeah, of course. Vivian put together a cool reel of your talk on Dan to Dan and the
Orb,
footage. No, yeah, on Orb. Sorry, Orb and the Movements of the Earth, and the footage on top, I assume, which was from a trailer or the pilot, looked pretty good. I was like, okay, yeah.
Actually, there's quite a few span of episodes. I think she must have pulled stuff from the episodes I was talking to.
It was very good.
Yeah, really good show.
You mentioned reading, so yeah, I don't know. I don't really know if there's much to say on Shangri-La Frontier if you're not caught up. I think we can just skip over that.
Sure.
But what I will mention is Three Body Problem.
Ooh.
We're only two episodes done. Two
Okay.
episodes left, rather.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So on Three Body Problem, episode
Six.
six.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. And so things have officially popped off. So here's your brief spoiler warning for the audience. Grant has seen it, and we know it's based off of books. The big moment, I think, or one of the biggest moments, is probably in episode 5. It is the Sophon reveal.
Okay.
That's
Nice.
when, yeah, you get the lore dump
Yeah,
of
big
what's,
word up.
yeah, like, you know, the Santee, which is the alien race, which is on their way, and how they've been communicating with Earth, and how they've been using their alien technology to spy on the planet, and why they're trying to cripple modern science, and all this. It's actually very satisfying
Yeah.
lore dump. And then they kind of show the eye in the sky thing, and they do the whole. It was very cool. That was a really, really high point.
You've seen the boat scene, right?
The boat scene. Is it in the VR game?
Have you seen the Sofon's base of operations yet?
No, I don't think so.
Really? That far in?
Base of operation. I see them create a Sophon in space while they're monologuing it, I think. They talk about how you can shrink it down to the size of a proton.
Has the nanowire stuff taken place?
Oh, yes. Sorry, sorry,
Okay.
sorry.
All
Yes,
right.
yes,
Sorry.
yes,
I was
yes,
like,
yes.
man, I'm pretty sure that was earlier in
Oh, the
the
boat scene was
season.
fantastic.
Isn't that terrifying?
Yeah, so
They didn't show kids die, but they killed some kids.
yeah, for sure. So yes, they use Augie's nanofiber technology to let a boat drive through a canal, and they've got nano wires strung across it, and it just cuts everything in its path, from the including the boat and the everybody on board. And the
Wild.
CG was really, really good. Really cool effects, really cool. I'm sure lots of cool practical effects, bodies exploding and shit like that.
Just like the little stuff of watching steam now coming out of a vent because the vent's
Yeah.
been cut or the pipe's been cut and
Attention to detail.
little stuff, stuff that's like like a silly, not a silly trick, but like a very simple practical thing in a movie, but it's like it really kind of sends home like what's going on.
Yeah, it's really smart. These VFX artists, like these experts, always talk about it's just that every little bit increases that sense of immersion, right? Mm-hmm. The more you can add little things like that, like the vents, the steam coming out of things, it all really, really helps. The sound the blood makes when it hits the ground. Someone has to do that, right? Like,
yeah.
It doesn't...
Yeah.
It, you don't hit an emulator on your computer and it does, like, you have to think of all these things. Mm-hmm. And that was a really, really good scene. Jonathan Pryce, so fantastic. both in Game of Thrones and in this. I really enjoyed his part on the show. Augie, okay, this is what I wanted to talk to you about, though. Mm. I had a bit of a dip in episode 6. Like, it's a good episode.
Sure.
We're really starting, like, humanity's response to this lore dump, and, you mm-hmm. know, there's looting and mass hysteria, as you would expect there would be.
Yeah.
But I found myself, in more than one moment... In particular, a lot of the stuff that, is it Wade? Thomas Wade? Davos, yeah. Davos' character.
Okay. Yeah.
Who, it has yet to be revealed what governing body he works for, or, like, they, like, keep alluding to it. He's like, oh, if you knew who I worked for, you're
going
to
work for me. They don't really kind of ever touch that.
No. So that doesn't work for me at all. Because I think I'm really losing my sense of, like, my suspense of disbelief when I watch it, because it's like, is this how it would... happen, you know, him and Dr. Chung just in a room and her saying just give me trillions of dollars for nukes, and there's all these people saying, oh, that'll never work. But it's like, who are these people? What panel is this? Is it a UN?
Oh, you mean like the new group he kind of puts together?
Yeah, like,
oh, okay,
gotcha. And who's he for the, like, why do we care about what he says? Like, none of it. Yeah, I don't know, I just lose that a little bit. And it's funny because, you know what I keep thinking when I have these issues with the show, of like, does that make sense? Like, is this my thought is like, fuck, this would be a better book. Like, if they had more time, because I don't want to guarantee it because I haven't read the book,
sure.
But I just feel like a lot of the problems that I have with the show are that they're probably worried about runtime, and they probably can't afford to be like, hey, let's spend 45 minutes on explaining, like, how there's going to be governmental cooperation internationally, how we're going to assemble a team of panelists and this and that. Like, I remember you mentioned they've smashed a lot of characters together.
I think the biggest thing to immediately answer your question is, like, the book is, like, almost from, is, like, so far where I'm at. I did put a bit of a pause on it, but, like, it's like 80% set in China.
Oh, wow.
And I think, like, there's some Europe, but I think it's more, I think it's, like, Sweden more. Like, I don't think the UK even has a presence, like, again, where I'm at, but it's, like, it's mainly China, so I think there's, like, a lot of that, like, governmental stuff.
Is Augie more... in the book?
No, I don't think any of them are.
She doesn't feel like a real character, and I'm not trying to be, like, a dick about it, but it does feel like
her, like, open angerness is, from my understanding, the only guy, and I don't think I've met him yet. I think he has a different name in the book, but it's the first physicist we meet where his boss, like, jumps into the reactor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The panel. Yeah, I'm blanking on
his name. Vera Wang jumps into the reactor. She's daughter of the girl who...
But the guy that was working in like, the room, like, that she kind of talks to, the guy with the glasses.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, so, like, Saul. Yes, I think Saul's technically the only one who's not, an amalgamation. He is in the book at some point, but I believe he's, like, at the end. You know, like, he's not even in the first one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know, dude. Like, really, really good, you know, for what it is. And, like, from what I've read to, like, what they kind of made. Like, the outrage that Augie has. Like, but, like, at the end of the day, like, it kind of makes sense, too.
It
like,
does. Yeah. I don't
want to say... But she does feel very... There's a lot of forced anger, I find.
And she feels a little made for TV in that it's like, hey, here's this unbelievably gorgeous scientist who, of course, is hotter than all the other scientists, but also smarter than all of them. And let's just find reasons to put her underwear throughout the show. And her character in general doesn't work a whole lot for me. I will tell you, though, like, the everything to do with the Sun Tea. Has landed, relatively speaking. Like, how would an alien life form look at us? You know, I think, like, you have to get pretty creative storytelling-wise to come up with the idea of sophons and They're talking about how do we distract them? Let's get the Hadron Colliders running 24/7. Let's put one on the moon. This is like fun. This is fun sci-fi shit.
It's very good sci-fi stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. So if anything, ironically, I was like, yo, when I'm done with this, I think I'm going to finally check out Silo on Apple TV. Everybody talks about how damn good that show is. And now I kind of want to go on a bit of a sci-fi kick because I've been off this stuff for so long.
I was in the bookstore the other day, and you know, like at Kohl's, they have like Heather's Picks or whatever.
Yeah.
And I noticed like the Silo series had that. I was like, oh shoot, okay. So I guess like
this is not just like a book too.
It is, yeah, a three book series. But so it's like, oh dang, like man, so much to watch, so much to do. But,
I know.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm really, really digging. I'm super, super excited for more Three Body Problem. But I've been thinking back to the scene where Jonathan Pryce is like talking to the Santee. It's like right, like his last communication with them,
mm-hmm.
and like they kind of put together that like, you know, oh, you lie. You know,
yeah, the nature of humanity.
And we can't trust you. And, like, they immediately like, cut him off. And I thought that was, like, you know, his desperation of, like, trying to get them back. I was like, oh, yeah. And then all the stuff in the nanowire. I'm like, that's, yeah,
brutal. That was stuff. Really, really good. Yeah. He's great in it. I really like the actor that plays the founder of the organization, whose name I'm blanking on right now. The Asian lady who...
Vera Wang's mom.
Vera Wang's mom. So yeah. Dr. Wang, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah... You know how she initially contacted them and her reasoning of just like, yeah, just like humanity's broken.
Yeah,
like
her hate, yeah. Just of...
And then this realization slowly that once she realizes that, you know, the Santee have kind of betrayed them anyway, it's all very interesting. So there's a lot of like creative stuff happening here. There's just a couple of nitpicks. And every time I have them, I think of you and I'm like, I bet this would be better in a book. Like, yeah, sometimes it would solve not all the issues that I have with it. But I'm coming off a bit of a low point with season six because a lot of these issues, or episode six, because a lot of these issues I had were in that episode.
Sure.
But maybe they're just trying to, you never know what they're up against in a production schedule wise. I've got two big episodes left and I presume.
I have to say, I found episodes 7 and 8 to be like very significant, very big, and probably like some of the more satisfying episodes of the season.
So. They've been building, right? What's his face? What's his name? I can't remember. I don't have it here. It's Samuel Tarly's death was good.
Oh yeah.
Just
the glass just shattering. You can like you're seeing the footage of like her not there. Yeah.
The sick guy. Really not clear where his story rather is going.
Don't wait. Don't until you worry. That wraps up.
He at the end of episode 6, he goes to this place and he wants to buy a star.
Like to help fund the war effort.
Yeah, because he inherited all of Tarly's money.
Yeah. Crisp Empire, which I thought was so funny. That's such a good detail. That's the thing, it's a created character, right? So like that was the people that wrote this, like, you know, D&D, like it's so funny how like this is like not even remotely in scope or tone to Game of Thrones, but like I'm still feeling some of the stuff that I loved from Game of Thrones. It's like, oh man, like they really did have a presence and a touch on that show more than we ever maybe thought, you know? So yeah, I don't know. Three Body Problems, some good shit.
I'm enjoying it. And you know, it has like reawakened like a sci-fi craving in me that now I think I have to go down.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Quickly, anime side path, side quest, because I know you still haven't watched it.
Okay.
Dude, I gotta say, Dragon Ball Daima.
Yeah?
I think around episode 8 or 9. Probably 8.
Yeah, 9 makes sense too, though.
I'm on 9. I think I just watched 9, but I can't remember which one was better. But anyway, the point is episode 8 is the best episode of the series they've done so far, which is not saying a lot. It's only 8 episodes. But people were saying, like, this is one of the best episodes of Dragon Ball, like, period. It was so good.
You're saying that too?
I put out a TikTok. You can find us on TikTok at Part Time Otaku Podcast and on Instagram about it. And I think one thing that helps, and again, it is early days, but the animation quality has not dipped. Mm. And every Dragon Ball series has had animation quality issues, like consistency, I'll say, right? Sure. They have a very hard time keeping like a high bar. And they just didn't pull any of their old bullshit of, like, dragging out a fight. They got right to business. It was, like, no reused frames. It was very unique choreography. There was a fight in the episode that was also a pivotal, important fight. It was just fun. Yeah, I don't know. It's really filling the, like, Saturday morning cartoon genre that we've talked about.
Yeah. That feeling.
But yeah, they like really did achieve like a high point in my mind. I don't know how many episodes this series is billed for, but I've been really, really enjoying it.
Are you at a point where you feel like, oh, like they're clearly like working up to something, or is it still kind of like not meandering, but like do you kind of feel like they're just kind of plodding along and just like is it kind of just like a little adventure stuff, or is there like a big story kind of a grand story like leading up to?
I'm starting to see where the biggest obstacles may come from. You know, the story is, this is what I kind of alluded to in like the thing I put out. I mean, the story is kind of the same as Dragon Ball GT, right? They've been turned into kids. They got to get their bodies back. So it's like, I don't love that. But the adventures in order to do it have so far been very different. The creator or the characters they've introduced have been pretty, creative, and I've been enjoying the, you know, all the chemistry and all that. But yeah, I'm starting to see like, the show is probably going to go in these few directions. I imagine these characters will be important. I imagine these are the plot lines that are going to unfold. Mm. And I'm happy with all of the...
Cool.
With what I think I see coming.
Mm.
All that could change. You know what I mean? Like, there have been a lot of rug pulls in the Dragon Ball history where, you know, they just take a left turn or the animation quality falls off a cliff.
Sure.
Or whatever else. But... But yeah, if you want more Dragon Ball content in your life, I recommend it.
Maybe I'll check it out.
We'll see. You will, dude. We'll see. What you got? You got anything?
I got one more thing. Leanne and I checked out Studio Ghibli's The Boy and the Heron.
Oh, shit. You were saying that.
Yeah, man.
Awesome. Say awesome, more. Awesome, yeah, awesome. Say, tell me things.
So, you know, like, I remember when... Because it took a while for it to kind of make its way over here, and even then, like... You know, you couldn't, like, it completely, you couldn't get rented. Like, there's no VOD for it. It was just, like, when it lands here, it lands here. So, it eventually came, I think it showed up on Netflix in October at some point. And we finally pulled the trigger. Okay, like, let's go for it. And yeah, that's the thing with a Ghibli movie. Like, you kind of, like, never know. Like, there's some theme, like, recurring themes that he loves doing. Like, you know, like the... You know, screw, like, you know, capitalism kills everything, you know, war ruins everything, you know, but like the recurring, you know, there's the recurring themes of like, you know, motherhood and, you know, being raised by a mother and, you know, the loss of family. The Boy and the Heron found a way to like fit all of it in. Maybe like less of like the capitalism and war stuff, or a little bit of the war stuff, because it's kind of set during World War II, like the main character is relocated to a different part of Japan just, you know, to avoid, like, you know, like a less, like, war-torn version of it in World War II.
Does it feel, I just want to make sure I'm not getting the wrong impression, does it feel like a greatest hits kind of story?
No, okay. It doesn't. Okay. If anything, it's the closest thing to Spirited Away he's made since Spirited Away. It, like,
when you say that, you mean story-wise or quality-wise?
I gotta say, it's probably my favorite movie of his in a long time. More akin to Spirited Away. And you've pretty quality. I think I've seen just about all of them.
I was gonna say, you've seen like the whole catalog, right? I have not seen a lot.
Not quite. There's still like a couple major ones, actually. Like Mononoke I haven't seen. And The Wind Rises I also haven't seen. But but yeah, like... just like, it's just one of those things where... It plays with time, like, again, like, it feels very surreal and, like, going to another world. Like, it honestly, like, I'm not going to say it's, like, a ripoff of Pan's Labyrinth, but it reminded me so much of Pan's Labyrinth of, here is all the stuff happening in the real world, let's go through, like, this imaginary door to a fictional place where time and space is, like, you know, not what you think it is, and it's playing around with realms and,
who directed, you know, abilities. Pan's Labyrinth?
That's Guillermo del Toro.
Thought so, yeah.
And it's more akin to that, but... like the weirdness of this, like, his movies are, you know, quotations weird, but it's like there's kind of like a loving nurturing tone to everything. This feels very, like, you know, hard and, like, you know, you have to fend for yourself, and, you know, like, right. there's guiding characters along the way, but like I said, a lot of the recurring themes. But Dave, you have to watch this movie. Like, it's just what they do with the imagery and, like, switching art styles. Like, you know, I've never seen such a hard, like, a bold art style change in any of his movies. Like, it goes at one point, there's like a recurring theme in the movie of like a nightmare for the main character, of like kind of thing in relation to like the fires in Tokyo. I don't like they weren't affected directly by like the bombs dropped or the nuclear bombs dropping, but there's like a lot of like the burning of various cities like Nagasaki and stuff like that. So there's this theme of like nightmares and fire, and it goes to like this hand painted like almost like charcoal brush art style various times through the movie, and it's just black and red and a little bit of orange tinge thrown in there, and
It's crazy.
it's just it's so like whoa, like you know this is such a vivid, like it feels like a very real vivid nightmare, you know, and when it transitions to those scenes, it's really really cool.
It's still crazy. Like we talked about Grave of the Fireflies a long time ago, and just the amount of stuff that you still see to this day. That is like so firmly like etched in just the cultural memory in Japan of pre and post World War II, and how much it had impacted their art and how much it impacted their culture is so fucking wild.
And you feel it in this one, like almost certain, like it's very much in that
Just
tone of like.
war-torn Japan.
Yeah, but like it does outside of like those like nightmare scenes, like it does a really good job of like not you're not like whipping back to like war torn of the country, like you can
It's like PTSD, it sounds like.
you can feel the characters feeling those feelings and you know having those emotions, but it's not like cutting away and like you know showing it that way other than like you know like this like I said this charcoal brushing. But the other thing I really liked about this movie in particular, and it's not like I have an issue with Ghibli movies this way, but you kind of like not that you know where the story is going, but like you kind of feel the beats, like the motion of like, oh, they're clearly gonna, you know, this person's gonna betray us, or like, you know, there's gonna be a fight between these two. This whole movie, it's like, oh, where are we going? It genuinely felt like a mystery every time. Like they would say, it was the classic case of what you and I love, like show, don't tell. They would say like, oh, who is this? And like, there's just a reference, like, oh, who this person is. But they don't explain it, and like and there's moments where Leanne and I were looking at each other. It's like, did she just say that? Did they say who that is? And like, again, they don't explicitly continue it. And then like, as the story progresses, it kind of fills in more details for you. And like, I know it sounds like so
You're
obvious, but
pitching
like,
this pretty well, though.
dude, it's really really good. And
Do they still have that deal with where all the Ghibli movies are on Netflix?
I think majority of them are on Disney. This one is on Netflix though.
All right, so I can still watch it.
100%. Yeah.
Oh, did I tell you I snagged a Cyber Monday or something deal?
No.
Anyway, I got a new sound bar
Oh,
and a
yes,
sub. Yeah, so I got a sub. Oh, I've been cranking that thing. The soundtracks for these movies are always quite nice as well.
Great soundtrack. And also like you know, one of the more notable characters in the movie is the Heron itself, who is just a like terrifying, creepy amalgamation of animation. You know, it's in all the trailer. Dude, they found a way to like have this heron have teeth, and they explain like it's shown why it has teeth.
Don't tell me.
But like, so Robert Pattinson is the voice in the English dub.
Did you listen to English
No, we
or
so
okay?
we listened to, we watched the Japanese, and I was like halfway through, and you get to like know this character, and I'm like, I have to watch the dub now because I need to know. It's the first time where you watch and you see this character, like I need to know what they do with this. You know,
I've
it's
heard
not like
some
Christian
clips,
Bale
and
or how like it's
isn't Bale in it too as someone else?
Yeah, he's the like the dad character.
They get big
Second Ghibli
names.
movie's done, yeah.
Yeah, they get big names in those movies.
Well, it's like everyone wants to be attached to it, right? Like it's
Yeah, man, I went on some. I'll have to look it up and tell you later. But I went on a tear of finding and downloading a bunch of like old classic movies that I hadn't managed to see in a long time. Have you seen a lot of these Akira Kurosawa movies?
Like seven, I've seen Seven Samurai
Yeah,
and yeah.
Ran, Seven
Ran, yeah,
Samurai.
I've seen Ran. I've seen parts of Ran actually.
Yeah, anyway, so I went and I got a bunch of those. And then there's one. I think Tarantino, I saw this long thing. Tarantino says like it's one of his favorite movies of all time, or one of his favorite moments of cinema in all time. And it's a Bong Joon-ho movie. Is it
Memories of
Memories of
Murder.
a Murder?
So good, dude. That's an all-time for me.
Of course you've
Yeah,
seen it.
yeah.
So I got that one queued up as well. And anyway, I'm excited. God, I gotta get through. I gotta find time. Cut to where we. I can't even remember if it was on or off mic. We're just bitching about how I just have no time. I just need to make time for all these things. Okay, so anyway, it sounds like you were very, very happy with The Boy and the Heron.
It awoken of like a hunger of like, holy cow, I need to like maybe watch three or four Ghibli movies like
really,
over the Christmas break. Yeah, it's really good. I'm gonna be rewatching it like definitely 100% over Christmas. Definitely not a cringe movie. Was like borderline like horror, body horror at points.
Okay.
So like probably like the least family friendly of his stuff. But
oh really?
I would think so. Like it's family friendly, but it's not. And it's like 30 seconds of like, oh wow, like is her skin turning into frogs, or is that like, or was that frogs like climbing on her? You know, like it's like, as an example, like as a case point. I don't know. I was completely sucked into it. I was like, this. I love it. I love the power of animation.
Yeah.
And it's so funny because, you know, we watch so much anime and like, not to compare, and like, you want, like, this is the art of animation. Like, yeah. You know, like he is a, like a master of it, and, you know, the people that work for him. And not saying like the stuff that we watch isn't, but I think they're trying to deliver two different types of things, you know?
Yeah.
And you just watch something like this, you're like, you know, I think we're lucky to get another one of these from him. And I know he said he's officially out of retirement again. We're probably going to get maybe another one. But like, if this is his last one, I think it's a really strong one.
If he goes out on this one, you feel like he goes out strong?
It's in my top three of his movies for sure.
That's very good to hear then.
After one watch, I feel that strongly, but I really, really dug it.
Damn, dude. All right. Man, I'm glad you reviewed that. Now I need to watch it. I'm gonna try and prioritize that one because it's out. There's no, you know what I mean? It's like it's out. Mm-hmm. I can watch it just right now.
Netflix, just sitting there waiting for you. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. The only stuff I got is a little bit of news. Golden Globes nominations are out.
Oh, shit. I didn't see that.
I got it in front of me if you're curious.
Yeah. Any snaps?
We don't have to, I don't know if you want to go through every single one here. How about we do a couple of the big, big categories?
Yeah. Yeah.
Motion picture, best motion picture, drama.
Okay.
The Brutalist, A24.
Can't wait to see that.
A Complete Unknown. I think that's the Bob Dylan, Timothy Chalamet thing.
Shyamalan Ding Dong.
Conclave? I don't even know
what that is. Yeah. That's the papal choosing the new pope movie with Ralph Fiennes.
Yep.
Apparently quite good.
Okay. Dune Part 2. Nickel Boys?
Also supposed to be really, really good. Yeah.
And September 5.
That is, like, you ever seen Munich?
Yeah.
Same, like, it's those events, but it was, I think the movie's based around, like, sports reporters.
Oh, okay.
Who were based in, like, reporting on it, or kind of, like, I think they were in Germany covering it, but, supposed to be quite good. Peter Sarsgaard? Unreal. Love him.
Sarsgaard family, man. Those kids don't miss.
No relation. Funny enough, no relation.
Really?
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Best motion picture, comedy, or musical?
Mm-hmm.
Anora.
They're saying that's going to win Best Picture.
Challengers.
The Oscars. Ooh, I'm going to say that.
Yeah, the Oscar noms are not out yet, right?
No. Not for a while yet.
Amelia Perez, Netflix movie. A Real Pain.
That's the Jesse Eisenberg one. Kieran Culkin.
What is that about?
Two brothers go on a trip of Poland. Like, I think their grandmother was a Holocaust survivor. And I think they're going around Poland, seeing like the various, you know, facilities and whatnot. It's like a history tour.
Does Eisenberg direct?
Yep.
Good for
him. It's the second movie. Yeah.
Did his first do well?
Yeah, I think so. It was pretty good. I'm blanking on the name, but I think it was reviewed really well.
The Substance.
Oh fuck yeah, dude.
And Wicked.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Just currently
seeing that next week. Actually.
Well, I should actually mention. We should do animated. Give the podcast. Best motion picture animated, Flow.
Ooh, I don't know that one.
Inside Out.
Okay.
Memoir of a Snail.
I don't know that one either.
Moana 2.
Oh. Gangbusters this weekend. Do you see that?
I know, I did. It's funny. I hear critics hate it, and it's crushing everything in its path, box office wise.
Yeah, dude.
Critics hate it might be an overstatement. I've heard some lukewarm takes.
Oh, okay. I saw Disney revealed like the number one most streamed like movie or on their platform. It's like Moana, the first Moana. It's like 500 million hours, something like that. Like in like a 2 year span, or 2 or 3 year span, something like that. I'm not gonna have the exact number, but it's like an insane viewing hour.
You know, quick side tangent. I feel like it's kind of similar to the Spotify Wrapped experience in that,
oh,
like,
sure.
You know, I put up, because I know everybody cares deeply about my Spotify Wrapped.
Shout out to Latvia.
Latvia. Oh, yes. Yeah. Our... Shout out Latvia for listening. For listening. Yeah, we haven't even said thank you, but thank you for listening. I'm talking about my personal listening.
Okay.
Right. I didn't even think about the podcast. We haven't said thank you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, everybody.
The show has grown this year. It grows every year. We're very excited about that. And, like, look at us. We're making moves. We're on video. We're going to be releasing clips, and we're syncing audio independently. God willing, if we don't fuck this up in the edit. Yeah. But so the point I was going to make was I put out my Spotify Wrapped and I was like, God damn, I listen to a lot of music. And I said, come at me in the DMs if you have more time listened. And everybody who did was a parent. And they're all like, oh, I use it for lullabies. I use it for this. My sister was like, oh, I leave music on for the dog when I'm at work. And I'm like, okay, so none of you are true appreciators of the art form like me. Sure. You're all cheating. But then it made me think of you and, your firstborn and Frozen, right?
Yeah, a lot of hours.
I feel
long.
Like Moana and there's probably a lot of habitual viewing of a lot of stuff.
Yes.
That is now tracked via streaming service analytics of, I just don't think Moana is that good. Now, granted, I've never seen it because I hate The Rock, but
You know how I feel about him, and Moana slaps. That's a good movie.
I'm playing.
Coco is better, for anyone asking. Coco is better.
I watched Encanto last year. I don't know.
Encanto's good.
Hey, give me a
good
break.
Good soundtrack.
I did my best.
That Bruno song slaps.
Yeah, Bruno. Yeah, it is. Last two in animated category. Wallace and Gromit, Vengeance Most Foul.
Fuck yeah, dude.
And The Wild Robot.
Also supposed to be pretty good.
Oh, and I think this might be is this the first or second year of the new category, Cinematics and Box Office Achievement, which is basically box office crushers that the critics don't like.
Wicked.
Wicked is in there. That's funny. But they're also in Best Musical, so what do you want? Alien Romulus, Beetlejuice, Deadpool Wolverine, Gladiator 2, Inside Out 2, Twisters, Wicked, Wild Robot.
And so, that's that's for the box office one?
Yeah, box office, cinematic and box office achievement. And then maybe I'll just do best performance for male, female, and a drama, okay?
Let's do it.
Actors take it, or comedic actors take a beat. Female actor, drama, motion picture.
Mikey Madison?
No. Pamela Anderson, The Last Showgirl.
Okay.
Angelina Jolie, Maria. Nicole Kidman, Baby Girl. Have you seen the trailers for this fucking movie, Grant?
No. No.
My God. It is. We think Dandadan is horny. This, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. CEO power movie.
Oh, my God. Grant, it's 50 Shades of Grey, but like I might be more interested in seeing it than I don't know what it says about me, but it's interesting.
Baby Girl Pod? Let's do it.
Yeah. Nicole Kidman, Tilda Swinton, The Room Next Door.
Okay.
Fernanda Torres, I'm Still Here, and Kate Winslet in Lee.
Lee.
Best performance male actor, drama, motion picture. Adrian Brody, The Brutalist.
Scan it.
Timothy Chalamet, Ding Dong, A Complete Unknown.
Mm.
Daniel Craig in Queer.
Mm-hmm.
Colman Domingo, Sing Sing.
Mm-hmm.
Ralph Fiennes, Conclave. Sebastian Stan, The Apprentice.
Oh.
And... Okay, I swear I'm done, but just as a fun fact, little further down the list, Sebastian Stan nominated
for
musical or
man.
Comedy, A Different Man.
That's very high. I really want to check that one out.
You know, my boy Bucky Barnes has aged quite well, I have to say. His IMDb page, he's been in some good projects since.
I'm like a total, you know me, I'm a total Marc Maron stan. I've listened to everything.
I listened just to that whole thing when you told me about it.
His Sebastian Stan interview was dynamite. It was really
good.
That
was a fantastic interview.
Yeah. Sometimes you just like have no idea like how someone has like grown up or lived in and just like listening to him kind of, like this is just my circumstance. And I was like, dude, you deserve every bit of success that you have.
I was a devout Winter Soldier fan in the MCU. I've never heard him get that personal in any interview ever. Granted, but I think maybe just Marc Maron is
Mark's
that guy.
Good for that. He's super good for that.
It's so funny, dude. After I listened to that, I listened to Marc Maron and Anthony Jeselnik because Jeselnik was...
That's not
you might have told me about it. That was a good one. I watched Jessel Nick's special, and then I realized I hadn't watched Marc Maron's most recent special, so I've been watching that.
Oh, nice.
From Bleak to Dark, 2023. It's on Crave/HBO. And I recommend that as well. The only other thing I have on my list, which is it kind of bleeds in, is there was some news that broke yesterday that Chris Evans, Tom Holland, Anthony Mackie, RDJ, all returning for Avenger of Doomsday.
Fucking Loki. Didn't take long.
Yeah. No. The prevailing fan theory, which I really want to believe is true, is, you know, they don't bring Cap back for like a beat the bad guy moment. Hopefully it's because Anthony Mackie will be playing Captain America in Avengers Doomsday. So my hope is it's present day. Who's the character name? Chris Evans, like, what's his actual name? Steve Rogers. Present day, old man Steve Rogers is in. Gives him like a little pick me up speech when they're down beaten or something. I don't want to see Chris Evans de-aged back to normal. Suited up as Cap.
I think it'd be funnier if they just like said it was Steve Rogers, old man, and it's just Joe Biden.
That's funny.
That would be. I don't know. I saw like with all the stuff with like, you know, Steve or Chris Evans and whatnot.
Yeah.
Again, like the rumor mill of like, you know, it immediately just like cuts back to like, oh, like what's Doom going to be? I saw a really interesting theory, and I hope it's not. Well, actually, if it was the case, it wouldn't be too bad. Of saying how Tony Stark is actually the one-off variant of like Doctor Doom. So like our Tony Stark is like the only like, so in every other universe it's all like Doctor Doom.
That's a good one.
And I was like, that's not too bad, you know, like if they play around with stuff like that. But
I like that one.
Yeah, but I think today or just earlier, I think Sony, I don't know if Sony made an official announcement or if it was leaked and like it's soon to be announced, but after Kraven the Hunter, they're doing no more side projects. Like Spider-Man, you know, because they own all the Spider-Man IP stuff.
Yeah.
And apparently it's just going to be focused on Spider-Man going forward.
There's a, I just can't remember his name, there's a guy on YouTube who has one of these aesthetic podcast, like highly produced, looks very good. Tom Holland did this big interview with him where he got like very candid about his alcoholism and dealing with fame and all this stuff, and he was like super open about like, you know, when I signed the my contract to be Spider-Man, I signed a 6-picture deal and I've technically fulfilled that because he's appeared in so many offshoots and whatnot. So he just said, I am at a point, and it's a little weird for me, but I do hold all the power in these negotiations with both Marvel and Sony. I don't have to do another Spider-Man movie if I don't want to.
Mm.
And he's been very upfront about, like, if we did it, I want it to be not just to do it, not just to make a movie, not just to X to Y. That kid is really punching above his weight for how old and absurdly mature it is for him to be sober already, just after a little, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting kid to listen speak. Not a kid, he's a man at this point, but very interesting guy to listen talk about fame and the responsibility and all that. And one thing he said is like, you know, I feel like RDJ brought me into the universe as the veteran, and really gave me a shot with their movie, and I'd really like nothing more to do that with a Miles Morales story.
I think that should be their move. Personally, I think they could use some Miles Morales.
And if he's saying that's what he wants, and in the same conversation he's saying he holds all the power, it's like, if you're Tom, just be like, hey, I won't do it unless you give me someone to hand it off to. Mm-hmm. Which is hilarious that he's the one who has to set that stipulation.
Yeah.
How have we not had a character Miles Morales story yet? We've had 3 fucking Spider-Men. Spider-Men.
Well, you know, there's the Spider-Verse stuff too, right? So like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, maybe
they're no, but I know, but like maybe like they don't want to double dip on the character, you know, have like brand confusion or whatever. But
God, Sony sucks. Not literally, not actually.
They're so awful.
Those movies are so good. The Spider-Verse movies are so good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like this fucking Venom movie. I was like, they're doing a third. Who's seeing this crap anyway?
They make money though. This one didn't as much, mind you. But
is the third already out?
Came out a couple of weeks ago.
Not good. Let it go quietly into that good night. Okay, I think this was fun. Are we good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, thank you very much for listening, if you heard any of this. Thank you for listening. Subscribe to the podcast. We're making moves, goddammit. We're on Spotify, Apple Music. I don't think there's video on Apple Music. If there is, we haven't figured it out yet. YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, Part-Time Otaku Podcast. Thank you for listening. We're typically bi-weekly. We're going to see if we can squeeze one more in before Christmas. If not, happy holidays, happy new year, all that jazz. But we will talk to you soon. Thank you again for listening, Grant. Go ahead and say something.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.